Heavenly Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Have you ever been in that situation in your life? I don't know if it was a time perhaps you were grieving the loss of a loved one, or in some kind of financial trouble, or some kind of distress in your life where a friend of yours saw that you were down and very lovingly approached you and said, you know, the Lord won't give you more than you can handle. Now, there are two basic responses to this. One of them is to cry out to God, Lord, why do you trust me so much? And the other is to punch them in the mouth. Well, if you'll turn in your Bible with me to the book of Hezekiah, chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord said, I will not lay upon your shoulders a burden heavier than you can carry. Has anybody else's worded a little differently than that?
You're rushing us, Paul.
Oh, sorry. Hezekiah 3:9. Is yours worded differently, yo?
A lot differently. Because that's not in there.
There's no book of Hezekiah. It's hilarious. You're all looking and looking.
Because that doesn't even sound right. I'm going to look that up.
Nowhere in Scripture does it say that the Lord won't give you more than you can handle.
Amen.
So the punch them in the mouth reaction is the closest to being right. That's not very loving, so don't do it. Where I think that statement comes from, if you look in 1 Corinthians, which is an actual book in the Bible. Yes. You know, that statement that the Lord will give you more, the Lord won't give you more than you can handle, the theological phrase for that kind of statement is called bovis scaticus, which is a Latin-sounding phrase I made up that translates loosely to cow ploppy. That's the theological term for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. The Lord is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So it says that the Lord won't tempt you beyond what you can bear, right? No, it doesn't. It says he will not allow you to be tempted. The Lord does not tempt us.
You're tricky.
I am tricky today. That's what people keep thinking when they say that he won't give us anything beyond what we can bear. But that's another sermon on its own. Here's the truth. 2 Corinthians, which comes right after 1 Corinthians, again, a real book in the Bible, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. The Apostle Paul was given more than he could endure. This is Paul. This is the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. If he got more than he could endure, what makes us so special? He had so much weighing on him, he wished he was dead so that he would remember to turn to God. When we reach that point in our life, for whatever reason, we need to remember where to turn, because we're not strong enough. Amen. Whether the problem comes from God or the problem comes from our surroundings, if he causes it or just allows it, it's there to remind us to turn to him, because he loves us. He can carry any burden that we have, but we need to remember to turn to him. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah is a real book of the Bible, chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says: "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends upon flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places in the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted in the water and sends its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." We rely on ourselves and we rely on one another. And in some respects, that's good. In some respects, that is good. But for the most part, again, when we reach points, we do reach points in our lives where we just can't take it anymore. As Pastor Tom talks every once in a while about this notion of rugged individualism. You know, this is something especially we have to deal with as Americans, because we're expected to be tough guys. We're expected to be able to shoulder every burden that comes our way. And when we do that, we get crushed. It's just the way it is. We try to be tough guys. That's what we're taught, right? You know, who else is here? Dad taught them, boys don't cry. We learned that. And the fact is, boys cry. I don't think girls ever had to deal with that kind of problem. We're not supposed to show our emotions, but we have to. God helps us with our burdens. He tells us that we need to rely on him. If we don't, we're cursed. We're cursed because we're being crushed by our burdens. If we turn to him, we are blessed by having those burdens relieved. Not taken away, but we receive help from him. In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 31, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why do you doubt?" So Peter, called by Christ, gets out of the boat and is walking on the water. Then he's distracted and he takes his eyes off Jesus. So as he's trying to do it on his own, he begins to sink like a rock. Because he's Peter, the rock. And Jesus reaches out to him when he cries for help. Sometimes it's not just enough that we turn our eyes back to him, because clearly he had done that. But he had already started sinking and he already had his doubts. And we all get that way in life sometimes. When something's hard, when something weighs us down. There's another saying that goes along with this. God helps those who help themselves. Also cowploppy. So I got two sayings. If I ever hear anybody in this church say either of those things to me, and I don't care how earnest you're going to be, I'm going to tell you cowploppy. He wants us to come to him. And that's why life is hard sometimes. Because we need to be reminded. Because we forget. It goes against our nature. It's not the kind of thing that we generally do. Sometimes he sends us to help someone else with their burden. That's how help comes sometimes. By giving us someone else to shoulder the burden with us. And sometimes we're sent to help someone else shoulder their burden. Whatever that may be. There's an old story about a man who was in his house. A hurricane had struck and the streets were flooding. And he's standing on his porch. He cries out, "Lord, deliver me. Save me." You see, he didn't heed the warnings that the storm was coming. He said he was going to stay in his house, and as he saw the water rising, it was too late for him to run. A boat came by. The guy in the boat said to him, "Come on, get in the boat, I'll take you to dry land." He said, "That's okay. God will help me." The waters continued to rise. He climbed up to the second floor of his house, and another boat came by. The guy said, "This is the last time I'm coming by through here. Get in the boat. I'll take you to safety." He said, "That's okay. The Lord is going to protect me." And the water started to rise, and he cried out to God again for help and as he climbed up onto the roof. And then a helicopter came by, and they shouted down from the loudspeaker on the helicopter, "Grab hold of the ladder. We'll haul you up." He said, "That's okay. The Lord will save me." And the waters continued to rise and the man drowned. He's standing in heaven and says to the Lord, "I cried out to you 3 times. Why didn't you help me?" He said, "I sent 2 boats and a helicopter. What else do you want?" Do we reject the help of God? Even when we ask for it, sometimes we reject it. Sometimes we don't know a miracle when it's staring us in the face. We can turn around and walk away. We miss the wonders. We miss the peace that passes understanding because we're too wrapped up in feeling sorry for ourselves, maybe. We get more than we can handle. We really do. And that's okay because he's there for us. He's there to help us with our burdens, whatever they may be. He loves us. You know, the biggest burden any of us ever had was our sin. And he died on the cross to take that away from us. I used to have a t-shirt. It was a picture of Christ lying on the ground with his arms under him and a cross over his back. It said, Lord's Gym. And it said on the cross, the sins of mankind. It said something on it to the effect of, only one man could bench press this. What greater weight is there than the sins of all mankind? And if he can shoulder that burden, what's going on in your life that he can't help you with? What's going on in your life that you won't let him help you with? It's our own stubbornness sometimes. Maybe that's too much for us to bear. Let's pray. Father God, maker of the universe, you hold everything in your hands. You want us to come to you. So, Father God, we are coming to you right now. We all have problems in our lives. We all have burdens that we hold, and we can't take it anymore. We often forget to come to you, Father God, but we ask you now, as we come before you now, as we come before you together, whatever the burden is, help us. If you can take it away completely. Whether it's grief or health or finances, whatever it may be, if you can take it away, take it away. But we know that you'll at least help us. We come before you and ask for that help now. We come before you crushed under our own lives. Please give us strength. Please give us peace. Please give us comfort in our afflictions. For sometimes we are burdened beyond what we can bear, perhaps to the edge of death. But we know, Lord, you can do all things. We've seen it. And sometimes we forget. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us beyond measure. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for helping us with our burdens. And we ask, Lord, that you would whisper in our ears the next time we begin to feel the burden. Remind us that you are there to help us. Remind us that all we need to do is cry out to you. We know you're there. Sometimes we forget. Keep your hands upon us and remind us always. In Jesus' name, amen.